Please turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 18. John, chapter 18. We have been looking at the Lord Jesus as we come to the last of the book of John. And we have seen that Jesus Christ has been willing to give His life a ransom for many. And that's important for us all to understand that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. I'm sensing that a lot of people could repeat that phrase, but I'm wondering if they really recognize Jesus as their personal Savior. And I think it's important that we look at this story and how the Lord Jesus, He, in going to His death, was willing not only to die for our sins, but He was also willing to confront those He was dealing with to come to Himself. This morning, I want to preach a message on Pilate coming face to face with Jesus. And we have seen that the Lord Jesus, after His arrest in John chapter 18, was brought to Annas in John chapter 18, verse 12. And it says, "And the band and the captains and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound Him." In the evening, or in the wee hours of the night, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus was going to be given a mock trial. And the purpose of that trial was to put Him to death. That was why they had this trial, because they wanted to religiously do the right thing while at the same time killing the one that is the creator of their religion. That is an incredible thing. The Bible tells us that Caiaphas, who was the high priest, but also was answerable in so many ways because of his authority, his father-in-law, Annas, and so they had this trial in the middle of the night. And the Scripture tells us that they asked Jesus regarding His relationship with God. Is He the Son of God? And Jesus quoted Daniel chapter 7 in saying that He was going to come through the clouds. Now, all of this was happening in the night. They were slapping Him. They were beating Him. And then we have a very interesting verse that tells us, in verse 28, "Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment." Now, what had happened is they had an official trial. So in the night, they didn't have everybody there. They had an official trial, and they decided to condemn Jesus. But now it had to be official. It had to be something that the Scriptures describes as a killing of the Gentiles. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus lived in a society, though it was in Israel, they were under the control of the Roman government. Rome, in its rule on the earth, was in part of what was called the Pax Romana, which was 200 years of peace. Now, it was a forced peace. It's the kind of peace that you don't want. No one better rise up against the Roman authorities. And that put a very peculiar situation upon the rule in Jerusalem, because of the fact that there was a sense in which the Jews were the kind of people that would not worship any god. They would not worship Caesar as God. They would only worship the Lord God. And that was, of course, from the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me." So we're told in verse 28 that when they took Jesus from this trial, this official ruling to have Jesus killed, they took Him to the judgment, and they were wanting Pilate officially to rule against Jesus, because under the law they could not do it. But notice these words, and I want to look at this. It says in verse 28, they would not themselves go into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but they might eat the Passover. What a hypocrisy. It's kind of like saying, you know, I'm going to make sure I'm dressed up nice to go to church, but in my own lifestyle, I don't care less about Jesus. And it's a very sad thing to be in a situation where people put on the religiosity, and yet at the same time, their heart is not right toward God. Now this morning, in looking at chapter 18, verse 28, through chapter 19, verse 16, I want to do this. I want us to go through the story, and I want us to see what actually happened in this trial. This is what many would call Good Friday. I'm convinced Jesus died on Friday. Now, there's those who disagree with me, but when we get to heaven, you'll find out that I'm right. Okay? But there's some disagreement on that. But I think what we find is that Jesus Christ is going to be crucified on this day. It's 6 in the morning, and first thing in the morning, they're brought to Pilate, and by 3 in the afternoon, Jesus will die. So this is going to be an incredible day. Now, I want us to look at the story, and then I want us to come back, and I want us to understand this interaction between Jesus and Pilate. So let's look at the story here, and then we'll see how Jesus comes face to face with Pilate. So Pilate, verse 29, went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring you against this man?" Verse 30, they answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, if he was not a criminal, we would not have delivered him unto thee." Now that's a real answer, isn't it? What did he do? If he wasn't a bad person, we wouldn't have brought him. They weren't able to necessarily give him a legitimate answer, though we're told here in verse 31, "Then Pilate said to him, Take ye him, judge him according to your law. And they said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die." So Jesus is saying, Jesus said in chapter 12, 32 and 33 that he was going to be given over to the hands of the Gentiles. And the scripture tells us that the Jews had the opportunity at this point to say, okay, we'll be able to take Jesus and kill him because Pilate just gave us permission. And they said, no, we don't want it that way. We want it to be under your Gentile rule. Verse 33, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence. And Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that heareth, that is of the truth, hears my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them all, I find in him no fault at all. But if ye have custom that I should release unto you at the Passover, ye have a custom, will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. In the other passages, the other Gospels tell us he was a murderer. He had inspired an insurrection that went into the city of Jerusalem. So Pilate, verse 1 of chapter 19, took Jesus, scourged him, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Now what we need to understand, and we'll continue reading, is that the other gospel accounts do give us some added information that helps us in this. Basically, Jesus was taken to Annas, then to Caiaphas, officially before the Sanhedrin in the morning, taken to Pilate in chapter 18, verses 28 to 38. But before we actually come to chapter 19, Jesus was then delivered to Herod. And if you hold your hand here, go over to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 23. Now, it's important that we understand what was being said here, because in chapter 23, in verse 2, they were accusing Jesus, that they began to accuse him. This is Luke chapter 23, verse 1. It says the whole multitude led him to Pilate. Verse 2, they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the King of the Jews? We just read that in John chapter 18. Then Pilate, verse 4, Then said Pilate to the chief priests, to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirred up the people, teaching throughout the Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. And Pilate said, Herod's up in Galilee. So verse 6, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that, he belonged into Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he had hoped to see some miracle done by him. So in other words, Herod was wanting to have a display of miracles. In verse 9, he questioned with him many words, but what was Jesus' reply? He answered him nothing. So the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught, mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends. That's a terrible thing when enemies become friends over a common enemy. And especially when that enemy is Jesus. For they were at enmity between themselves, verse 12. So, the scripture here tells us that he sent him back to Pilate. So we come to the second account of Jesus with Pilate in chapter 19. And that's when Pilate goes ahead and has some of the soldiers. It tells us there in verse 2 that they put a crown of thorns on him. They put on his head. They put on him a purple robe. They had scourge him, verse 1. Now, of course, that's problematic because after the scourging, there's open wounds. The whips that they used, the scourging was a whip. They would put at the end of the whip sometimes bones, sometimes pieces of metal. And they would literally take a victim and they would just hit him. And, of course, under the Jewish law, you could only do 39 stripes, but under Roman law, you could do as many as you wanted. And the Bible tells us that they then put on this robe, said, Hail, King of the Jews, smote him with their hands. Verse 4, Therefore went forth again, and saith unto him, Behold, I bring him forth to you. And he said, I found no fault. We read that. Verse 5, Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns, and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. And when the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him, and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Then Pilate, therefore, heard that saying. He was the more afraid, and went again unto the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he delivered me unto thee. He that delivered thee unto me, thee, hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Pilate, when therefore heard that saying, brought Jesus forth, sat down to the judgment seat in the place that is called in the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and it was about the sixth hour. And of course, we're talking about noon. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. And they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. And he delivered him thereunto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Now the scripture tells us that at that point, the book of Matthew tells us that Pilate took and washed his hands and said, I am not guilty of the blood of this innocent man. Interesting story, and of course more than just interesting. This of course is one of the key elements of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 tells us that the gospel is the death of Jesus Christ. And of course, later we'll see in the book of John, he is buried. And thirdly, he rises again from the dead. But he is going to die. And I want us to understand that Pilate was really, can we put it this way? He was dealt a hand. Okay, and when you play cards, you're dealt a hand. You may not like that hand, but it's the hand that you've been dealt. Now, I want you to see this in relationship to Pilate from the standpoint is that you have been dealt a hand. You have been put into circumstances that maybe you would not have put yourself into. But nonetheless, God in His providence and God in His power and authority has put you in the circumstance that you're in. Pilate was dealt a hand that said, okay, you have to make a decision about Jesus Christ. And you can be sure of this. Every one of us have been dealt a hand, regardless of our circumstances, wherein we had to make a decision about Jesus Christ. Jesus was sent to Annas, sent to Caiaphas, to Pilate, back to Herod, back to Pilate, and finally sent him to be crucified. Now, to better understand this hand in which Pilate was put into, I want you to understand a little bit of the history of Pilate. And I want you to recognize that Jesus, when he came to Pilate, this was a circumstance in which Pilate was in a pickle. Because if you look at the story, you begin to recognize that Pilate, for some reason, was backing off. We're going to see that Pilate's going to come to a conclusion about Jesus, at least from a surface standpoint. But he's going to kill Jesus anyway. Why is Pilate so reluctant? Well, let me tell you a little bit about Pilate. Rome, because of the fact that they were in the Pax Romana, they let the people in their society live pretty much within the rules that they had. The King Herod that we are introduced at the beginning of the life of Jesus had three sons. One of those sons was put in charge of this region of Jerusalem and Judea, and he was a terrible person, to the point that the Romans had to get rid of him. So in order to be able to rule with some kind of authority and consistency, they put in place a series of governors or procurators or praetors or commanders, if you will. And one of those was Pilate. And as one person wrote in one commentary I was reading on this, that when they put Pilate in about AD 26, Pilate was now going to be the procurator, the guy that's governing things. But Pilate got off to a rocky start. And according to this commentary that I was reading, he mentions that around the time that he comes, in about AD 26, Pilate comes in there and he comes marching in. Because of the fact that this region needed to be controlled, they brought a legion of soldiers. Remember? What was a legion? About 6,000 soldiers, 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. So they came in, and they were really ruling with an iron hand. So here comes Pilate, introducing himself to these people. And he came in with these flags and these pictures that had showing that there was a god in Rome. And who was that? It was Caesar. And interestingly enough, that Pilate comes into that place and he has these images on their standards and basically showing, you know, we are going to rule with an iron hand. Well, that became a problem. Because the Jews said, we can't have any other gods, and we are not going to rule, we are not going to have false images in our city. So, what did they do? Well, it became very obvious that they, first of all, come to Pilate, and they say to Pilate, you know, could you take these down? Pilate was hard-nosed about it. He didn't want to remove them. So, he had them up in where everybody could see them. And when he came storming into Jerusalem, here are the little pictures of Caesar all around and these gods. And so Pilate, you know, kind of just flaunts the Roman power. They begged him not to do it. Well, Pilate then goes up to Caesarea, and if you know anything about Israel, Caesarea was kind of the capital of the Roman work there, and they went up to Caesarea, and a multitude of Jews followed him up there. And the reason they followed him is because they wanted him to take those images of Caesar down. And they followed him all the way up to Caesarea. And they, when they get up to Caesarea, they're bugging him. You need to take these images down. Remove those standards. And he was furious that he finally ordered them to meet in the amphitheater. So a multitude of Jews come into the amphitheater. He gets them in there. He surrounds them with soldiers. And he informed them that all that, if they didn't get out of town, go back to Jerusalem and stop bugging him, he was going to kill them on the spot. What do you think they did? Well, history tells us they put their necks out and said, you're going to have to cut our heads off. And Pilate, he tried to scare them, but they wouldn't budge. And so what ends up happening, he thought, well, this is not good. You know, I'm coming in to rule this area. And these people are intimidating me, so he backed off and went ahead and took the standards down. And he didn't want to massacre defenseless men because he knew that would be it would not go well with Rome. So he loses the first confrontation with the Jews. To make things worse, at one occasion during the first years of his rule, he determined to build a new aqueduct, and he didn't have any money, so he robbed the temple treasury. So he found all that he needed, but the people rioted. And it's interesting because Pilate infiltrated the people with plainclothed Roman soldiers, and at a given signal, clubbed and stabbed them to death. See, Pilate was not a nice guy. We're told in the book of Luke chapter 13 how he murdered people at the Tower of Siloam. So it wasn't a big deal for Pilate to kill people. But now he kills these people. And we get to some later point in conflict in Peter's career over these idols because Pilate eventually made a temporary dwelling place in Herod's palace in Jerusalem. And I'm reading. And in Herod's palace, he hung shields on the wall with the picture of the emperor Tiberius on them. And the Jews began to complain about that because they said that brings false gods into our country. They asked him to remove it. He refused. Now, because Rome was ruling under the Pax Romana, the right of any subject people to appeal their case to the emperor, the people went to Rome and said, this is what Pilate's doing, and Rome made Pilate to take him down. So there's conflict going between the Jews and Pilate. And the interesting thing is, so this is where Pilate is coming from. And we're told here in John chapter 19, what did they accuse against Pilate? In verse 12, whosoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. So he was in hot trouble. So here he is, put into a situation where he is going to have to make a decision about Jesus. And it was either give in to the Jews or give in to his conscience. But if he gives in to his conscience and lets Jesus go free, guess what happens to Pilate? He loses his job. So it's the same old story that we see that works on through history, how people will many times sacrifice right in order to keep their jobs. So here's Pilate. Three things I want you to see regarding Pilate. Number one, he was confronted with Jesus. Of course, we've seen this. Chapter 18, verse 28. Pilate apparently, for the first time, is going to have a face-to-face encounter with this, probably in his mind, this radical that's been going around preaching throughout throughout Israel. And Pilate goes out in verse 29, and he says, what accusation against this man? Now, the only thing I want to point out with this, and I'm trying to make this from an applicational standpoint, because I want to ask you a question. When did you first encounter Jesus? Maybe you heard about Jesus, maybe your parents talked about Jesus, but there was a day when you said, what am I going to do with this man? And when you were first confronted with Jesus, I don't know who first confronted you with Jesus. It could have been a preacher. It could have been a radio spot. I remember growing up, one of the first encounters I remember is listening to an evangelist on the television talking about Jesus, and people were going forward. And then he turned to the audience and the people in the homes and said, what are you going to do with Jesus? It could have been a friend. One of the purposes of the Christian life, as Brother Murphy announced in the offer in the announcements today, is that, you know, we ought to be confronting people with Jesus. The politicians may, but usually if they say something about Jesus, there's a tendency to think there's an ulterior motive to get a vote. And a lot of people can talk about Jesus. But when did you first encounter Jesus? Now, maybe there were several occasions. And I remember one time when I was probably 12, 13 years of age, I went to a church and they had a little youth group meeting. And I remember going there and the preacher got up and he described hell in such terms that I thought, man, who would ever want to go to hell? And then he got up and gave an invitation and said, who will deal with Jesus? And I said, no. So when were you confronted with Jesus? When did you say no? When did you say yes, if you said yes? The second thing I want you to see, that in being confronted with Jesus, he had to consider the character of Jesus. Because we're not just talking about some religious guru in church history. And certainly there's people who join churches and they get into religiosity and they do all the ceremonies and the things of the persuasion of pomp and circumstance, and they see all this stuff. One time I was in Washington, D.C., actually, and I remember they were doing something for a ceremony. The president was going to be there, so I went to it, and it was a religious church, and all these religious people, all kinds of groups of people, people who believed in the Bible, people who didn't believe in the Bible, all the pomp and circumstance. And yet, the reality is, we can approach religion that way, but have we ever come to some conclusions about Jesus? The first thing Pilate had to consider regarding Jesus is, he king? And we're told in verse 33 that Pilate entered into the judgment hall and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Now, Jesus answered him saying, sayest this thyself? In other words, is this your belief? Or did someone tell you that I'm the King of the Jews? And Pilate says, am I a Jew? You know, we really see a very interesting thing, how the Lord Jesus was witnessing to Pilate. He was trying to get Pilate to come to some conclusions. And though, of course, he knew what was going to happen, but yet Pilate could have said, you know, if he'd have said, yeah, I'm a king, Pilate would have immediately thought that that would be a person who is going to try to create some radical insurrection against Rome, and so therefore we're going to have to kill him. But Jesus was not a physical, earthly king. And if he'd have said, I'm not a king, he would have lied. So he was tempted in all points, just as we are, but not sin. So he very wisely said, did you say this, or did someone tell you this? Verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. And if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should be delivered. He said, this is not an earthly, physical, on earth kingdom, because my kingdom is not from hence. So Pilate, scratching his head, verse 37, well then are you a king? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. He said, to this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness. And the Bible tells us that he had to confront the idea that this is the man who has a kingdom. You see, a lot of people, when you present Jesus as Christ and that you need to be saved, and they say to you, well, yeah, I'd like to be saved. Well, just pray this prayer. Okay, what do I need to pray? Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. You know, and they go through the motions. But let's just talk about kingship for a little bit. What is a king? A king rules. A king is someone who is over a kingdom. The Bible calls him the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So the reality is that I have to understand that Jesus isn't just somebody that gives me some fire escape from hell so I can go to heaven. He is King. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the, you know it? What's the word? Lord Jesus Christ. Who rules your life? Who is the one that influences your present decisions and future plans? Who is the one that regardless of anything else, you're going to obey? Is it you? You know, a lot of people, it's you. You know, myself. I'm the one that decides this. I'm going to decide what I wear. I'm going to decide where I go. I'm going to decide who my friends are. But let me just tell you something, friend. When you are confronted with Jesus, and maybe you've never been confronted with Jesus from this standpoint, He is the one who is in control. He created the world. And He has a kingdom. And if you want to go to that kingdom, you have to understand that He is your King. And so when I accept Christ as my Savior, then I have to understand He's the one that's going to be the ruler. Now we can miserably fail in that subjection, but He has ways of getting our attention. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, yeah, we know He's in charge, but I want to do it my way. So, you know, so we fight God. But let me just tell you, God has ways of winning. He's stronger than you are. And he has ways of bringing circumstances to deal you a hand that would cause you to say, I am nothing, he is everything. So Pilate had to answer the question, is he a king? Number two, he had to consider Jesus in this way. Is he true? Verse 37, after he said that he was a king, he says, I have come that I should bear witness unto the, what is it? Truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now, if you're a hypocrite, like the religious leaders were, the Caiaphas and his gang, they didn't care about truth. All they wanted to do is kill this man. Now, they act religious, but they were a bunch of hypocrites in their own hearts. So, Jesus confronts him with truth. And if you are of truth, if you really want what's right, you're going to respond to me. It's interesting. The scripture talks about the parable of the sower. And it says the seed, or speaking about the word of God, that falls on good ground has an honest heart. And you say, our hearts are wicked. They're evil. Desperately wicked. Yes, but I can be genuine or I can be fake. So, in your confrontation with Jesus, do you understand that He is true? And so, of course, this really got Pilate thinking, what is truth? Yeah, people don't know what truth is today. People don't know how to deal with their homes and deal with their sins and deal with their habits and deal with their frustrations or their finances or whatever it is. What is right? And Jesus says that He is right. Of course, John 14:6, remember, I am the way and the truth. Jesus is never going to sin during this whole aspect or this whole trial. And it's an interesting thing that Pilate recognizes him as not doing anything wrong. You see there at the end of verse 38, I find no fault at all. Look at verse 4 of chapter 19 at the end of the verse. I find no fault in him. Look at the end of verse 6. I find no fault in him. So, and as we saw, that even before he sent him out to deliver him to be crucified, he washed his hands and says, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. So Pilate intellectually knew that there was nothing wrong with Jesus. He also knew, apparently, at least he did not deny that he was a king. How do we know that? Because what did he do when he put him on the cross? The king of the Jews. So, the scripture tells us that Pilate was confronted with that. Now, we need to understand. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the one that is going to be able to deal with me who is not true, who is not right. And someone said, well, I'm a pretty good person. Yeah, but the Bible says we've all sinned and we come short of the glory of God. So the Bible tells us that Jesus is the one to turn to. Religion will fail you, just like religion caused these people to be hypocrites. They wouldn't even go into the judgment hall because they wanted to keep pure from any defilement while at the same time they're going to kill the Messiah. And the Scripture tells us that Jesus is right. Jesus is true. And I've got to come to that that conclusion. Now, some of you, I think sometimes our young people, I think they sometimes wonder, is this really true? Is this really the way to go? You know, and you know, so you grow up and you say, man, I'm going to leave that. I'm going to go try some other things. And I think it's a tragedy when our young people grow up and they get old enough and they're gone. 1 John tells us why, because they were never of us. For if they'd have been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out from us to make manifest that they were not at all of us. In other words, they never heard the truth. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. There's a ring to it. There's a sense in which I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I am convinced that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we need to understand. But yet, we see that Pilate understood the truth. And then thirdly, we're told that he had to understand that Jesus is the Son of God. Chapter 19, verse 7, the Jews answered him because he said, you kill him. Verse 7, and it's interesting that they wouldn't do it. They could have, but they wouldn't do it. Pilate gave them permission to kill Jesus. So it tells us, the Jews answered, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. He was confronted with this. Is this God's Son here? And I'm not necessarily suggesting that Pilate knew all the theological ramifications of that, but is this God? And there was something about Jesus when he's confronting Jesus. Because we're told here that after that, verse 9, he went into the judgment hall and said, whence art thou? Where'd you come from? Who are you really? And Jesus, as a lamb to the slaughter, as the Scripture says, answers not a word. And Pilate says in verse 10 of chapter 19, don't you know that I have the power to crucify you? And I also have the power to release you. And Jesus says, you don't have any power but what my Father has given from above. And it's interesting, and from he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Yeah, Pilate's going to sin, but Pilate is really wondering about this Jesus. So, the reality is, all of us have been confronted with Jesus. And if not, I want to confront him with you right now. Jesus is the King. Jesus is sinless. He's true. Jesus is God. So we've looked at how Pilate was confronted. We looked at what Pilate had to consider. But I want you to look at what Pilate had to decide. It's an interesting thing. Because when people are confronted with Jesus, they can do exactly what Pilate did. First of all, he tries to ignore him. Verse 31 of chapter 18, he says, don't bother me with this guy, you take care of him. And then when he proposes that and they don't go along, he then says, aha, send them to Herod. You know, it's the classic case, I don't want to deal with this. But see, you've been dealt the hand. And you have been given the circumstances that you have found yourself in. And the person that confronted you with Jesus, and maybe you came to the recognition, is he really a king? Is he really sinless? Is he going to die for my sins? Is he really God? And maybe you said, not now. I won't deal with it right now. Later, the invitation's given. Maybe the preacher confronted you with Jesus and you said, no, not right now. Just like I did when I was a young person in that church. I was given an opportunity and I said, no. But he had to decide. He tried to ignore him. And he also tried to ignore his conscience. Because we're told in verse 8, after Jesus said that he was the Son of God, notice what Pilate does. He was the what? You tell me. I want you to say, I'm not creating this stuff. This is in your Bible. He was the more afraid. And Matthew chapter 27, verse 19, to add to that, his wife sends a message. You know that? In Matthew 27, Pilate's wife sends a message to Pilate and says, do not have anything to do with this just man. And why? Because she said, I had terrible dreams about this man. And of course, this is the Son of God. This is the Creator of the world. He's face to face with Pilate. And there is something about Jesus that was a magnet to people. There was something about Jesus that the multitudes thronged to him. And Pilate looks at Jesus and he says, if this guy is who he says he is, he calls himself a king. He calls himself innocent, and I don't see any guilt in him. They call him the Son of God. What if he is? So the big dilemma, do I lose my job? And let this man go? I mean, he tried everything. He sent Barabbas. He said, have him killed instead of Barabbas. I mean, have Barabbas killed instead of Jesus. And he couldn't get out of it. He was dealt the hand. Do you see? He was given the point of decision. You see, the Bible says, now is the time. Now is the day of acceptance of Christ. And the Scripture tells us that his conscience was doing this, his everything that was going on here, he saw right through these goons. He knew they were just trying to kill him. And yet, he couldn't afford letting Rome come down on him. And the reality is, history tells us at about AD 35, sometime after this, he left Jerusalem, and some have even said committed suicide. Or he just faded away, we don't know. But he was dealt a hand. And I think it's a very, very sad thing. When you confront people with Jesus. Now, some people, you confront them with Jesus, they don't have a clue what they're saying. They don't even understand it. Oh, they hear your words and so forth. But to them, your explanation of the gospel is you know, wah, 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 okay, I'm going to hurry get done so I can go and do what I need to do. Some people, they're just not listening. But I have seen people, and this is the power of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth. It tells us in Romans 1. I have seen people understand the gospel, understand their sin, tears in their eyes, and they're afraid, and they'll say, crucify him. Oh, they wouldn't use those words. They just said, no, not now. So my question to you, when we see about Pilate coming face to face with Jesus, when did you come face to face with Jesus? The next key question is this. After understanding who He is and what He did for you on the cross at Calvary, did you receive Him? I'm glad by God's grace I did. And I can only say that because of God's grace. Because after I rejected Jesus in the basement of that local church, I came that close to death. A couple years later. And my first instinct was, I need to get things right with God. And God may be using this opportunity right now to help you to come to Jesus. Our Father, we ask that you would allow every individual in this room to understand that it's only by coming to Jesus, accepting who He is and what He's done, and by faith, being 100% sure that we have believed in Him, can we have a place in this kingdom that is not of this earth. I ask, Father, that if there be somebody here today that has made that decision to take Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would just encourage their hearts to know that they made the right decision. But Lord, there may be somebody here today that has not made that decision. Oh, they hear about Jesus and they would even say, yeah, He's the King and He's true because the Bible says that and He is the Son of God. But they have never made that decision to receive Jesus to be their Savior. Lord, I can't make someone do that. And you have chosen not to make them do it, but you have maybe dealt them the cards right now to make that decision. Help them, Lord. And maybe there's someone here today, since they've made that decision, have regretted some of the other choices they've made to their King. And they need to make that right with you, Lord. And I pray that they would do that before this day is out. For Jesus' sake. Amen. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet, no one looking around, Christians.